Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really glad you're with us here this evening, this Sunday, February. I'm still in January, yeah. Sure. February the 16th, 2025. The time is just moving. I can't believe how fast things go. Yeah. The older I get, it seems like the months go by like weeks to me. And the weeks like days. Yeah. And, I remember my parents telling me when I was a kid that time speeds up when you get older. But I didn't know it would go this fast.
Right.
So yeah. I apologize, friends. We're glad you're here this Sunday. And we're here every Sunday on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. And I say we're here.
Yeah.
We're on the air every Sunday. Because the last 2 weeks we weren't here. That's my fault. My wife and I took a little vacation and had a little time away. And we're back in the studio. Unfortunately, our friend and brother Ray Powers got us on the air.
Yes.
He made sure that we were covered. Ed, I actually forgot to send him a text. And
oh, wow.
While I was gone, he says, "Hey, Mark, do you want me to run one of those reruns for you?" And I said, "Yeah, you need to do that." But, it's always good to be here.
Mm-hmm.
What have we been studying over the past weeks, Ed?
We talked about the attention a lot of the Christian world is being paid to the nation of Israel, and we have opened the Bible and looked to see what it says about Israel and its relationship with God, and some at the end events of the end of the world.
And it was a lot of information.
Yeah.
There were a lot of programs about that. And as you said, when we were here a couple of weeks ago on the air, you mentioned that, it's so much information, it would take hours and hours and hours. And so we want to encourage you to do those studies, to read your Bible on your own. If you need a Bible, we'll help you get one.
Right.
Let us know, and we'll make sure that we get a Bible in your hands somehow. But Ed, tell us a little bit about this ministry before we go on.
Well, when we're here, we're here every week
in our locality
in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. And we have our services on Wednesday evening, prayer time / Bible study time, which is available by Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we have our church service on the Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day of the week.
The biblical Sabbath,
yes.
Right?
And we have a Bible study at 9:30. We call it Sabbath School.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's available live stream or via Zoom. And then we have our worship hour at 11, which is only available via live stream.
Okay.
And Rick and Mary have a Monday, every other Monday night, they have a, I don't know what to call it, testimony time, prayer time.
Yeah. Just to encourage people.
Fellowship time,
yeah.
I guess.
Have a little time together. They have prayer. They pray for other people. They pray for one another. And a lot of times they'll share the testimonies of things that have happened to them through that week.
Right.
I have tuned into that. And, our schedules are so busy. We each have kind of little independent ministries.
Right.
Ed, you have one where you do videos and teach people, and I do the same thing. And this is kind of Rick's way, him and his wife, of having their little ministry and encouraging people.
Right.
That's what ministry is, pointing people to the Word of God, spending time together, encouraging one another, lifting them up, getting them ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And that's really what ministry is all about, and helping us to know the one true God and His Son.
Right.
It's so important. So if someone wants to contact you, Ed, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
Okay. You can reach me, mark@prophecyhope.com. Also, I'm really excited. I've put a number of the programs, programs are listed now on the website, more of them. And I hope to get all caught up in the next month or two. I put about 25 of them on there from 2023, I believe, is completed, and 2024, I've started working on that.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll get to where each week they'll be posted. That's my goal, is to post them. So you'll get them right after they broadcast on New Visions Radio, they should be on the website. That's the goal. It just takes time.
I think that's nice, because if someone hears the program on the internet radio and they want to hear it again, they can go to the website.
Sure.
And maybe slowly go through it, study, look up all the text.
You know, we used to have archive programs on New Visions Radio. I have to touch base with Ray on that. I'm not sure if they're still there or not. But if you want some more information about some of the things we've talked about, one of the things you mentioned the other week, and then we'll get started here, but you mentioned that a lot of the things that we were talking about Israel, these things are posted. The prophecies are posted on our website.
Right.
So if you go there and you have a topic that you want to discuss or something you want to know about, just use the search bar and type in Israel or type in tribulation or anything like that, Second Coming, and those topics are covered there. There are hundreds of sermons on the website. So I think that's all the business we have for today, Ed.
All right, good.
So you want to pray for us, get us started?
Sure, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you again for bringing us together to look at your word, the Bible, to look and see what it says, to look at the words on the page, to compare it to what's already happened in history, so that we can know what your plan is for this world and to be prepared when you send your son back again. Father, as we study these things, give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we were talking right before we went on the air here.
Some frustration in our voices.
Yeah, and why is that?
Let me bring you to a text that shows why.
Okay.
We're a little frustrated.
Sure.
Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12.
Okay.
And I want to read the last three verses. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 9.
Okay.
And it says, "And more than that, the preacher was wise, and he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he listened and looked and set in order many proverbs." I believe he's talking about himself. "The preacher sought to find out pleasing words and words of truth written by the upright. The words of the wise are like goads, yes, they collect words, are like nails driven home. They are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be warned." This is a warning.
Mm-hmm.
"The making of many videos has no end, and many study is a weariness of the flesh."
Videos, huh?
It says books.
It does say books.
But today it's videos.
It's true, isn't it?
And this is a warning.
Yeah.
How do you know what truth is unless you open God's word and study it for yourself? And this is the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil." Now, Mark, I know you deal with this all the time, and I've been having to deal with it more often, is that people listen to all these videos online of people saying all kinds of different things, and they get confused and don't know what truth is, and they come to you and try to convince you of, you need to watch this video. It's explained well. And I tell them, I'm not going to watch it. If you want to study this from the Bible, let's do that.
Every week, Ed, and I can say every, I know we don't always like absolutes here, but every week someone sends me either a video clip or a video to watch or a book to read, and they'll say, "Here, read this." Well, what did you just read? I'm going to read it here, and there's a translation that I have at home, and it says in verse 12, it says, "And further, my son, be admonished by these, that the making of many books there is no end, and the reading of them is wearisome to the soul," it says. In other words, it tires you out.
Yes.
Reading these things.
It confuses you.
It is confusion. We have a book that tells us what God's will is for us. Why do I need to read another man or woman's thoughts about this book when I have the book itself? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
In other words, what I'm doing when I do that is I'm getting their opinion.
You're putting your faith in that person versus the Word of God.
That's right. So look, I love people. I love when they ask questions. But if somebody sends me a video and says, "Here, watch this," it makes me ask the question, Do you believe that? And if you do, why do you believe it?
Right.
Can you show me what you believe from God's word?
Yes, and this is exactly the approach I'm studying with some people, and this is the approach that I'm going to take. Okay, I'm not going to watch this video you want me to watch.
Right.
But you take the scripture from that video and show me from God's word what it says.
There you go. Let's have a discussion about
yes.
it. And, you know, there's a scripture in Isaiah that speaks about line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little.
Yes,
right?
Isaiah 28.
And what does that mean, Ed?
You have to take the whole of God's word. You have to take all the information on that subject from all of God's word in order to draw any conclusion from
it. Sure. I can pull a verse out of the Bible and make it say whatever I want it
right.
to say.
And that's what men do.
That's what happens. And what we're supposed to do is read it in the context in which it was written. And you know, we see this manipulation today in the news so much. They'll take a snippet or a clip from somebody
right.
and make them say something they didn't really say.
Or make them look bad.
Or make them what? I'm sorry.
Look bad.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, absolutely. I've got a little thing in my throat here. I'll get through it. But this is what the world does. And really, it's preaching a lie
yes.
when we do that.
You know, so often it's like people are looking for excuse for sin in their life.
Right.
And so they try to manipulate God's word to make what they're doing, how they're living their life, okay.
Sure.
And it simply isn't. You have to be honest about what God's word says. I'm going to look up a couple of texts. I don't remember if it's in 1st or 2nd Timothy.
Okay.
It's about studying God's word.
Okay, let's see.
And it's going to take me a little bit to find it.
Okay. Well, look, while you do that, I'm just going to share this little testimony. I have a friend who I love dearly. I went to school with him. We grew up together. We worked together. And I have tremendous respect for this fellow. And we're still good friends to this day. And he came to me one day. He was with me he knew me when I was in my former church where I was misled. And as I came out of that and started really studying the Bible, well, he brought me this book from an author. And he says, we got to talking about a particular topic. And he says, here. And I asked him, well, what do you believe about that? And he says, well, here, read this book.
Yeah.
And I looked at the book and I said, well, why would I read that book? I'm asking you what you believe. He says, well, I believe what's in that book. And I said to him, you know, if you can't tell me what you believe yourself, then that tells me you don't know what you believe.
Right.
You're asking me to read that book. And if you can't tell me what you believe, I'm not going to read the book. Because that's just somebody trying to manipulate me to believe something. And, you know, that really hit him hard. Because when I come to somebody and I don't say to them, here, read this book and this will tell you what I believe.
Well, we do with one book.
With the Bible.
Yes.
That's right. But I will send them, if they ask me, what do you believe? Well, it's my words. If I send them, this is a sermon that
right.
I gave,
right.
I'm showing them from the Bible what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different there. When you send me someone else's material, that's not, you might believe that, but do you know why you believe it?
Right.
That's the key.
You know, I think the key is, oh, there's so many texts that are coming to my mind. There's a text in Acts chapter 17.
Okay, yes.
Can you find that?
Yes, I can.
It's about Paul went and preached to those in Berea.
Yeah.
And what they did is they didn't believe the words that Paul spoke until they compare them to what the Bible, the scriptures actually said. It says they searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying, Paul and Barnabas were saying was so.
Yeah, it was actually, here it is. I believe it's Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. Those were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily. What is it? Does it say they read books?
No.
No, they searched the scriptures, that's the Bible, daily to find out whether these things were so.
So it was Paul and Silas, not Paul and
right,
Barnabas.
Paul and yeah. Silas. Right. And then it says, therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. And what was it that convinced them? It wasn't the writings of another man.
No.
It was the Word of God.
Right.
That's what did it.
You know, I've mentioned this several times lately. I've been studying the events of the Protestant Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
And what made the difference in the Reformers' life and the people that they were teaching and preaching to was they had access to the Word of God in their own language.
Yes.
And they could know for themselves by opening and reading the Bible what was being taught, whether it was true or false. And that's what brought about this great Reformation, this Protestant Reformation.
The Word of God.
Yes.
Having access to it. Now, Ed, my background is such that it's very similar to the background of those who were coming out of the Reformation, right? Who were Reformers, because they were told what to believe. They didn't have access to the Bible. Well, the church that I come from, they have access to the Bible, but it's their translation of the Bible.
Right.
And so things have been manipulated. And the church is the one that tells you what the Bible says. If you read the word on the page and it says something contrary, the church takes precedent. They say, well, no, this is what we believe.
Well, see, this was part of the problem during that time, the Middle Ages, that it was the Catholic Church that was telling everyone what to believe, and they would come up with all kinds of fairy tales and false doctrines that weren't even in the Word of God. But no one had access to the Word of God to know what it says.
So in the 1500s...
Well, Martin Luther.
Right.
He was a monk. He was someone who was part of the Catholic Church. And he found a Bible chained to a wall, and it changed his life.
That's amazing. You know, and
that changed the world.
It did, absolutely, because it's because of his experience that, well, this country exists, the United States where we live. His experience was a part of that formation of this country. And also, many of you who are not Catholic, whether you're a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Lutheran, which is what Martin Luther professed to be, that's where the Lutheran Church came from. This was a result of people having access to the Bible and coming away from some of the things that the Catholic Church
taught. Martin Luther was like you and like me. He began to see that what his church was teaching wasn't according to the Word of God.
Sure.
But he never thought he would leave his church.
I never thought I would leave mine.
But the truth forced him to leave his church, just like it forced you to leave your church and forced me to leave my church.
Yeah, and that's not an easy thing.
No, it's not.
You know, any of you who are listening, I'm sure whatever church you go to, you love the people. You probably love the pastor. You probably enjoy the fellowship and the time. But if you find that something, that there's false doctrine, what do you do at that point?
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
We have a brother that joined us within the last year who went to his pastor.
He did.
And approached him about what the Bible said versus what he was preaching. And that didn't go well.
No. I mean, it was a friendly conversation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the pastor didn't know how to respond to God's Word other than to say, well, this is what we have traditionally taught.
Right.
And, wow, the traditions of men. Didn't Jesus warn us about that? He warned about following the traditions of men.
Right. You know, I want to share a couple of scriptures in 2 Timothy. The first one is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm just going to read two verses, verses 14 and 15. And it says, put them in memory of the things, charging them before the Lord, not to dispute about words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers. Study earnestly to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study for yourself, but be honest about what the word of truth or the Bible or the scriptures say. Don't try to make it according to your church doctrines, maybe what you even believe. believe what's written on the words on the page.
The key, and you read it, it doesn't say dividing the word of truth.
Right.
Rightly dividing it. That means that you have to do it the correct way. You can't just pick and choose. You know, remember I did a Bible series, we did a Bible series last year, and I put a slide up of the cherry-picked Bible. Yeah. Remember that? And I made the comment, this Bible has all of the verses that I like and got rid of the ones that I don't like.
Right.
And this is what we tend to do as Christians. And even as denominations, we tend to pick and choose. But we have to rightly divide it, dissect it.
You know, in this chapter, it continues to talk in verse 16 about shunning profane vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their word will eat like a gangrene, among whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and who overthrow the faith of some. This is what's happening today. Mm-hmm. People teach falsehood. They preach falsehood. They write falsehood that overthrows the faith of people.
Yeah.
And they believe the person versus what the Word of God says.
That's so true. My Bible, the New King James in verse 17, says, their message will spread like cancer.
Yeah.
You know, a gangrene today, a lot of people might not know what that is, but, you know, we know what cancer is.
Yeah.
And that means that it's deadly. You know, if we go with the word of man over the word of God, it's a dangerous thing. It's dangerous. It'll cost us our eternal life, our relationship with God and His Son.
I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 next and read the last four verses.
Okay.
It says, "But continue the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And it tells us where they've learned them. "And that from a babe you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Mm. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected, thoroughly furnished to every good work. So where is it that they're supposed to have learned all these things? From the Holy Scriptures.
Right. You know, go ahead, Ed.
Which are able to make you wise to salvation. They're God-breathed. They're profitable for doctrine.
Yes.
If you want to know good doctrine, read the Bible. For reproof, for correction. You know, oftentimes we use it for reproof and correction of others, but it's actually meant for reproof and correction of myself.
Right.
And for instruction in righteousness, how you're to live your life.
Amen. And you know, that verse 16, it doesn't say only the New Testament is given by inspiration. Yeah. It doesn't say only the Torah is given by inspiration.
Right.
It says all Scripture.
Yeah.
All Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation. And friends, it goes together. There is no contradiction.
Yeah, so many people ignore, disregard, set aside the Old Testament of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Folks, realize Jesus only quoted from the Old Testament.
Amen. He did.
Even after his resurrection on the road to Emmaus, walking with two of his disciples, and they didn't realize who he was at first, he opened the Scriptures to them. He opened the Bible, the Old Testament Scriptures, and showed them why these things, the death of Christ, was to happen, and his resurrection.
You know, that's shocking to people, isn't it? When you say Jesus only quoted the Old Testament.
Yes.
And the reason for that, Ed, why is that? Why did he only quote the Old Testament?
Because it was the Word of God, the Word of his Father.
Yeah, and the New Testament wasn't written until after Jesus had died and been resurrected and went back to heaven.
Right.
So all he had to teach from was what they already knew. And so it shows, too, that all of those things pointed to Jesus Christ.
The same gospel that's preached today was preached to them in the Old Testament times.
Amen.
That's what Paul says, who I believe wrote Hebrews in chapter 4. He says the same gospel was preached to them, but the reason they didn't enter into God's rest was because of lack of faith. Mm. They didn't believe.
You know,
it's at the beginning of the chapter.
It's amazing to me. There's a text here that we have read many times in this ministry, in Jeremiah chapter 2.
Okay.
And, you know, it really goes to show how things haven't really changed. People are still the same.
Right.
From the beginning of time, it seems like, you know, as soon as sin entered, we all took on the same nature and we all have the same propensity to want to do our own will. And I just, if you don't mind, I'm going to read this.
Sure.
I'm just trying to think of where I should start. Maybe just chapter 2, verse 1. Why not? It says here, Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says Jehovah, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal. For, I guess it's betrothal is the proper way to say that. When you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown, Israel was holiness to Jehovah, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says Jehovah. Hear the word of Jehovah, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says Jehovah, what justice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is Jehovah? Who brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt? I brought you a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is Jehovah? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says Jehovah, and against your children's children, for I will bring the charges. For pass beyond the coasts of Cyprus send to Kedar and consider diligently and see there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory, but for what does not profit? Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says Jehovah, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
Yeah.
You know, this is what's happening today. This is actually, he's speaking here to Israel. And, you know, we just had this study, this great study that we did on this. He's telling them, you've turned away from me.
Right.
And that's what they've done today. And this is what many Christians, they're looking to other people. They're making their own gods by watching the videos that say what they want them to say, by reading the books that say what they want them to say. And where are we supposed to turn, Ed?
Right.
We're supposed to turn to God's Word.
You know, I want to share a few verses from the Bible. One is Psalms 119. And Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible.
It is.
And I want to go to verse 172. And it says, my tongue shall speak your words, for all your commandments are righteousness. If you want to know if someone's from God, see if they're speaking God's word. See if they're, go to the Bible, see if they're saying the words of God, what the Bible says.
Yeah.
If they're not speaking the words of God, they're not from God.
Right.
The second text that I want to go to is Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And this is from the Modern King James Version. Again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, beware, lest anyone rob you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. You know, Jesus only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak?
Absolutely. And I had somebody recently send me something saying, no, Jesus spoke independently of the Father. Jesus never said that.
See, this is because they either don't read the Word of God to see what, like, John chapter 12, the end of the chapter says, or they don't believe what it says.
Right.
It doesn't fit their idea of who Christ is or who God is, so they ignore that, set it aside, and say, and try to make the Bible say something it doesn't say. You know, we were talking a little bit about the Reformers and mm-hmm. the Protestant Reformation. The protest isn't over.
No, it isn't. You're right.
There's much need for continued protest. You know, there's people out there, and I hope we're some of those people, that are taking the Bible and the Bible only.
Amen.
And using that as a guide and to teach others what it says, even though we're counted as peculiar people, unusual, but we're doing it because that's what God's Word says, and we love God and His Son, Jesus Christ, for what they've done in our lives.
Amen.
And we want to share that with others. And this is not a popular thing to do in the world today.
No, it isn't.
Not popular in the Christian church today.
Right. In fact, Ed, it's interesting you said what you did. You said the protest is not over. A lot of Christians are trying to come together and saying that the protest is over.
The Pope declared it over at the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Isn't that interesting? That was in 2011? Is that when that was?
I think it's 2016.
2016. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, think about that. Saying, and even had a Protestant leader standing with him saying the protest is over.
A gentleman, his name was Tony Palmer, I believe.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, friends, to show you just how powerful this is, right here where we live, I was shocked to find out there's a chapter of a division, and I'm just going to say it. It's called LARCUM, LARCUM, and that stands for Lutheran, L, right? A is for Anglican, and then you have RC, which is Roman Catholic, and UM, which is United Methodist. That's the acronym, LARCUM.
Right.
Lutheran, Anglican, Roman Catholic, United Methodist. And these churches have decided they're going to come together to form the one world religion under the papacy. Is this fulfilling Bible prophecy?
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me, and so many Christians miss it because they're not studying God's Word.
If you look at Revelation 17, this is the prophecy you're talking about. You're talking about a harlot, a woman riding a scarlet-colored beast, mm-hmm. and this harlot has daughters.
Right.
This harlot is the papal power, the papal religion, whose Protestant daughters are following in her steps.
Now, I know that stings a little bit for many people who might be Catholic or Roman Catholic, but we're not talking about the individual people.
No, we're talking about the structure, the tradition,
right.
The false doctrines.
Right. There are individual people who are there, who are lovely people, living up to the light that they have. Right. We're all in a different place in our walk with God. Ed, you and I, while we work together in ministry, we're not in the same place. Our relationship with God, there are nuances that are very different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with people who are parts of these churches. But what do I do when I find, like Martin Luther, when he found out, wait a minute, my church is wrong. What do I do at that point?
Right.
Where are we? Are we willing to take that stand? You know, keep in mind that the first religion in that LARCUM acronym is Lutheran. If Martin Luther knew what was taking place today, he would be protesting more than ever.
This is what Martin Luther said about the Vatican City. He said, there's so much immorality, corruption, murder, that he believes the fires of hell were burning underneath that city.
Wow. Wow. Now, of course, you know, we don't know and understand what the Bible says about hell.
Right.
That it's not burning today.
Right. He was just talking about the sinfulness, the
right.
The just the overwhelming amount of iniquity that was being that was occurring at that
sure.
time in that city.
Absolutely. And you know, I realize that I think it's a good thing when people repent from things that have happened in
right.
the past. And of course, the leaders today have nothing to do with what took place then. But owning that and saying, hey, you know, we were wrong for this. That shouldn't have happened. But think about those things that took place in the name of Christianity
right.
through those dark ages and the many lives because they didn't believe what the papal church was teaching. Christian lives were taken.
Yeah. Estimates go from 50 million to 150 million
right.
people.
Either way, I mean, if it's one, that's too many.
Yeah.
If it's one
Let
person.
Me take you to Revelation 17 and read the verses I was talking about.
Sure.
We're going to start in verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and talked with me, saying to me, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot sitting on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth commit fornication and become drunk with the wine of her fornication, those inhabiting the earth. And he carried me away into the desert by the Spirit. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast filled with the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And, of course, this beast is mentioned multiple times in mm-hmm. Revelation 12 or Revelation 13. And so we understand that to be the Roman Empire. And it has two divisions, the pagan division and the papal division. And this woman is considered a false church.
Mm.
And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
And she was gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. You know, gold is usually considered pure.
Sure.
But this golden cup was full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. I mean, she has daughters who are harlots.
That's correct.
And of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with a great marveling.
Mm.
This is talking about that great persecution.
Yes.
During the Dark Ages.
Absolutely.
Where the Catholic Church put to death the saints. And why was John marveling, this great marveling? Remember, John the Revelator was in captivity by the Roman Empire when he received these visions. So he understood the persecution of the Roman Empire. The reason he marveled here, because it's the church, quote, the declared church that's persecuting the people of God.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to believe, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
And I think any person that is a Catholic, they know that this is part of the history of the
yes.
church if they've learned about their heritage. You know, Daniel mentions this also, Ed, in Daniel chapter 7. I'm just going to read a few verses
okay.
here. And if you know anything about Daniel chapter 7, it's a vision that Daniel had. It goes along with Daniel chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And notice what this says in verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast, remember he talks about these kingdoms, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. Verse 24 says, the ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. That's similar to what you just read in
right.
chapter 17 of Revelation. It says, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. Now, we're not going to go into all of that. We do that on the website. If there are questions about it, we will cover that for you. Verse 25 says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High.
Yeah, in Revelation 17:3 is called blasphemy.
There you go. And then it says, shall persecute the saints of the Most High.
Yeah, it says that in Revelation 17.
Yes,
as well.
You just read that, didn't you? And shall intend to change times and law. then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time.
You know, I want people to understand this mystery, the Babylon the Great. It's not a single church.
Right.
It's all churches, forms of religion that preach false doctrine.
Correct.
A false God, false way of living your life. That's in opposition to God's word, the Bible.
Now, this word Babylon literally means confusion.
Right.
And if we know anything about the Bible and history, we can trace this all the way back to the Tower of
Babel.
And, you know, that look at that. The word Babel is the root word of Babylon. Mm-hmm. And Babel is where God confused the languages.
Right.
So
because the people were working against God.
Yes. And they, instead of doing his will, they were doing the things that they wanted themselves.
Right.
He wanted them to disperse and fill the earth and just cover the earth. And he wanted his message to go to everyone. And they decided, no, we're going to stay here. Well, nothing has changed, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
God wants the gospel preached. But people are so rooted in their churches, so stuck in their beliefs, just believing whatever they're told, rather than watching, rather than reading the Bible, they're watching videos and reading books where we originally started.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we reading here? We're supposed to be studying the Word of God and not rooted in Babylonish doctrine, not rooted in what men or churches are teaching.
Right.
Did you have a thought?
Well, you know, this what we're talking about came about because I was frustrated about, I've been studying with some folks for a while, and we've talked a little bit about the subject we're going to continue to study. It's just they're constantly looking to what other people say as opposed to God's Word.
You know, we live in a, I've said this in the past, that we live in a microwave society.
Right.
And what I mean by that is when I was a kid, there weren't microwaves until I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I remember if you wanted to boil water, you had to set it on the stove for several minutes.
Yeah.
But everybody wants everything now.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, when I was a kid, it was a big deal. If you were going to cook something like a beef hot dog, you had to put it in water and let it boil for a while. And then they made these microwaves where you could have them in 30 seconds and they'd be hot. And so this is the world we live in. I want the information now, and they don't want to invest the time that it takes to learn these things. But Ed, your personal testimony, what has taken that time to look at the Bible done for you? I know it's taken you a lot of time.
I started in 2013.
Okay.
And I've continued to study ever since then.
But I mean, you were a Christian. You believed in God.
Right.
You knew a lot of things that the Bible said.
Well, I wanted to study the Bible for myself simply to see what it says, versus depending on what somebody else says it says, whether it's a book, a video, a preacher, a church, whatever. Because I discovered in my studies that the Bible doesn't actually say what this preacher says it says.
Mm.
So what else am I missing? But the problem is how do I take the information? I wish I could remember all the information I studied and learned. How can I share that with others in just a few minutes' time? You have to have so much understanding. You know, if you just look at the book of Revelation in chapter 11 and look at that prophecy, there's so much you have to know in order to understand the words on the page. How can I do a video on that? How can I share this without it taking such a long period of time?
Right. And that's the problem. People don't want to invest the time.
Right.
Now, all of the time that you've taken in study, you know, 12 years ago, you decided, you know, I'm going to see what the Bible says.
Right.
Has it been worth it?
Oh, yes. You know, it's, I don't know why God has showed me all these things.
Mm.
Why me? I mean, I'm not a well-known name in the world that can influence people.
Right.
But he's just opened the Word of God to me. And I think it's because I made a choice to believe what the Word of God says versus what my church taught or my favorite pastor or my favorite author. And I always, always ask for wisdom and understanding and for guidance by the Spirit of truth. And folks, if you don't believe claiming those promises make a difference, I'm here to tell you it does.
Amen.
God will open your eyes. Can you expect to understand everything? There's subjects that I say, I simply don't understand this.
Sure. Same here.
And what I do over time, I collect information from the Bible, books, chapters, verses, and put it in a like place in my computer, you know, put it in a file.
Right.
And I'll be studying something else and see something that relates to that. I'll take that and put it in that file and gather information. And sometimes I say, well, now I understand what it says.
Right.
But it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes years.
We have a tremendous advantage today to be able to file things like that. Yeah. Can you imagine 100 years ago, you know, they'd had to write all this down. But now we can copy and paste these verses in places.
And don't get me wrong, in many of my personal studies, I'm writing things down on a piece of paper.
Sure.
I'm writing the verses out, all of the verse out. Helps me understand what it says, helps me remember what it says, and then it gives me a record of what I've studied. Like a while ago, I studied through the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah. And I say, oh, wow, look at this, and look at this. And I said to myself, I'm never going to be able to find this again unless I write it down and have some kind of record where I found this.
Right.
You know?
Now, do you have a filing system that you use when you do that? I mean, do you have a way?
It's a pad of paper.
Okay.
And I just flip pages.
Okay.
Just keep.
And you go back and review those from time to time?
No.
And, yeah, that's interesting. So this is, you know, this is time. You're talking about taking time to do that. You know, people today, again, they don't want to take the time. They'd rather watch a video or be entertained by somebody.
And I understand that.
Sure. And you know, I do too. I mean, the reason that I make videos is because I know that people don't want to study. So I try to make the video pointing them to God's Word.
Right.
Friend, this is the key. Where is the information coming from? And don't just accept what somebody says because they're using a verse.
Don't accept what we say.
Absolutely.
Open the Bible yourself, read the words on the page,
and determine
for yourself. Make it your belief, your faith.
Not someone else's.
Not yours.
And really, I guess that's the frustration that we started with it.
Yes.
That if I can't express to you what I believe, then it's not my faith.
Right.
It's not me talking.
You put your faith in somebody else who you're listening to.
Whether it's
a video, a sermon, a church, whatever.
Right. And you know, I realized this many years ago as well. And you know, in doing that, I found there's so much more joy in knowing what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy when you are talking to somebody, if they ask you a question, you can get painted into a corner so quickly because you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
And the thing is, too, friends, don't be afraid to say, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we say that.
I've said that a bunch of times. Yeah. We've had to say that in our Wednesday night Bible study. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know.
Yeah.
And in your own mind, you may speculate certain things, but you don't want to teach speculation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we've got to be careful about that.
Right.
And I have to remind myself of that because I have quite the imagination. and sometimes that imagination comes out when I'm speaking. So I try really hard to control that. But the key is following God's Word.
Yeah. Now, what we're talking about, there's consequences for doing that.
Oh, yes.
People don't necessarily want to hear the words on the page of the Bible because it makes them accountable for the things they're doing in their life. They don't want the conflict. And people will not necessarily want to hear what you have to say, or they'll speak against you and God's Word.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that.
Yes, in fact, one of the scriptures that convinced me, Ed, that I needed to examine what my church was saying.
Right.
Is right here in the book of Mark.
Book of Mark, huh?
Yeah. I never even thought about that, yeah. The book of Mark. Yeah, I was sleeping one night, and I was struggling with, I knew that if I told my family the things that I was studying, that right. It was going to cost me. You know, it's caused me trouble. And that's yeah. What you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
There are consequences. This can cost you relationships with friends, family members, workmates, neighbors. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Spouse.
Yes.
Right? It can cause tremendous problems. And this is the, listen to this. This is very interesting. In this conversation, Jesus is talking with his disciples. And here's what happens. I'm just going to start in verse 27, Jesus speaks about how with men there are things that are impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Right.
We've heard that.
Right.
And then Peter speaks up and he says, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered, this is verse 29 of Mark chapter 10, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life.
So what Jesus is talking about, when you know the truth of God's word, and you live the truth of God's word, and preach the truth of God's word, people are going to leave you.
Look at what happened to Jesus.
Yeah.
He was preaching the truth of God's word, and what happened?
Yeah.
They killed him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is what happened to the disciples of Christ, those who followed Christ. This is what happened through the dark ages that we're talking about
right.
today.
Yeah.
So you know, think about that. There are consequences. It may cost you the relationship, but the point is, Jesus is saying here, it's worth it. It's worth it. Your life will be so much better.
Do you love God for what he's done for you in your life? Not only the gift of his son, but what he's actually doing for you in your life you're living now.
Amen.
If you follow his principles, follow his word, your life will be much better than following the world.
Amen.
Do you love his son, Jesus Christ, who died for me?
Mm.
For my sins. It was my sin that put him on that cross. This is Jesus who was one about doing good, healing people, encouraging people in their lives, raising people from the dead, curing sickness, casting out demons. And yet my sin caused this good man, this Son of God, to be put to death.
Mm.
Do I understand the love that Jesus has for me? Not only does God love me and he sent his Son to die for me, but he sent the Spirit of his Son into my heart, crying, Abba, Father, to give
Amen.
Me empowerment in my life, to overcome sin in my life. Because Jesus was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. He understands. He's been here. He knows what it's like, and he knows how to overcome. And he can help you in your time of need as well.
Amen. He can get you through anything. There is nothing that we can go through that he doesn't somehow understand and
right.
comprehend. And if we remember that, you know, when you feel like, wow, how am I going to, you know, tell my church, my pastor, that I've found something in the Bible that he doesn't believe?
Right.
Well, you know, our friend that's part of this ministry, he did that very thing. He went to his pastor and said,
and he opened the Bible and showed him what it
said. Yes. And really, that holds the pastor accountable. And that's what we're called to do. In Ezekiel, it speaks about that.
Right, the watchman on the wall.
Yes. What does that lesson teach us, Ed, the watchman on the wall?
It teaches that we're going to be held responsible if we don't share truth. That can potentially save someone's life for eternity.
Yes. And, you know, where is that found in Ezekiel?
It's in two places. It's in chapter 18 and chapter 33.
So that's Ezekiel 18 and Ezekiel 33.
Yes.
I would, if you are thinking about the things that we're talking about here, read those two chapters, and you'll see that God's going to hold those leaders more accountable than the average person.
It also talks about the sinner that repents, all his sin will be forgiven and won't be remembered. But the righteous man who commits sin, all his righteousness will not be remembered, and he'll die because of his sins.
Okay. So, go ahead.
And that's part of the message, the watchman on the wall. You know, there's consequences for not living according to God's word.
Boy, that's the word consequences. In the world that we live in today, people don't like to suffer the consequences of anything, and they cover over things.
There's not only consequences today, but there's eternal consequences.
Absolutely. And so for everything that we do, every decision we make, every choice that we make, consequences are involved. And when you take a stand for Jesus Christ, he has warned us. Look, life will be better, believe it or not, even though these things may happen.
Right.
You know, when I took the stand that I took, my friends abandoned me. My family abandoned me. My mom and dad said, "If you get kicked out of the church, we will never talk to you again."
Yeah.
That's what they told me. And you know, Ed, I prayed about it, and this verse popped up mm-hmm. in the middle of the night. I woke up and read the verses I just read in Mark chapter 10. And I went in my office and got on my knees, and I prayed to God, and I said, I can't do this,
right.
but I'm claiming the promise that you will get me through it. And Ed, he did.
You know, the church that I came out of didn't tell me those things, but they've done those things.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah, and that was unexpected, I'm sure.
No.
People, and you love those people.
Yes.
And
close
would,
friends.
Absolutely. And you would love to be able to share. You've tried to share the gospel.
Yeah, they don't want to. They don't want to study. They don't want to listen.
Here, read this book. Here, watch this video.
Yeah.
Right? You know, this has been a great study, Ed, just looking over these things. And friends, it's encouragement to you to, you know, get in God's word. See what it says. Don't worry about what YouTube says or your favorite pastor says or what we say.
Right.
It's about what God's word says.
Yes.
So
God will guide you. Claim those promises.
Amen.
That he'll give you wisdom and knowledge, and that he'll guide you by the Spirit truth. Claim those promises, and he will do it.
Amen. That's a great note to end on, Ed. So let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word. And as our brother Ed just said, may we claim those promises, Father. Teach us your word. Help us to recognize who you are, who your son is, and the great cost and the great risk that was taken to save our lives. What a blessing it is that we have you as our God. Father, may each of us take to heart the things that we talked about today, the things that we studied. May we have our own walk with you and your son. And Father, we ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thanks for the study. We'll pick up here and do another study next week here on New Visions Radio, next Sunday, 7 p.m. And friends, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.